using to record because it was so far of a distance away, and trying to patch it into the board. But you know, they make so many little devices now, like iRig, that allows you to plug into your iPhone or iPad and be able to bring audio in from another source. Yeah. And that's pretty neat that they have that kind of technology built into these phones. But anyways, it was kind of a neat thing meeting with these guys and spending some time talking to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all the stuff is kind of getting focused on the smartphones in general, where, you know, I see that being the main machine here before long. If it's not already, for most, it probably already is. But, you know, like TVs, they're just a monitor now. I mean, the smart TVs, I see the phones just, you know, having a docking scenario where you could just dock into your TV. Now you have all the functionality on your TV.
Yeah, and everything, you know, including like AirPlay.
Yeah.
You know, most of your devices now, even Android or Apple, you can AirPlay to your TVs, your newer TVs, which, you know, is kind of a handy feature because a good example that my brother was here a couple days ago passing through, and he calls me. It was during a work day, and he just says, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm just sitting here working." He says, "Well, I'm in Tulsa." And I said, "Wow, what are you doing in Tulsa?" He said, "Well, we had to come through Oklahoma, so we're heading back home to Colorado. But," he says, "we might come up and visit you and spend the night." I said, "That'd be great. Come on." So he came down, and we were sitting around in the living room talking and just kind of spending some time. And I had a couple photos I wanted him to see. And instead of just passing it over there, he goes, "Here, let me see your phone. I want to see that picture." I said, "Here, I'll put it up on the TV." And just airplayed it to the TV, and man, it popped right up there, big screen. Everybody could view the picture. And it's just kind of a neat feature that you could do that on the spur of the moment. You don't have to go hook anything up and plug it in. You just got AirPlay, and it'll send that. And then you've got AirDrop, which if they want that picture, you can just AirDrop it to their phone. So it's just kind of a neat thing. You just you'll see their name appear in the AirDrop, and you just hit it, and it just pops the picture over there. So it's kind of a neat way that these phones now have become so powerful. They're like a computer in themselves. I mean, they are computers.
Yeah.
Supercomputers. So, yeah, pretty neat technology.
Sure enough.
Right now it is 7:36, and you're listening to Tech Talk. We're going to be right back here after this one-minute time out.
January is the month to shop Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City in Independence, for military and student discounts. Check out the sharp 2021 Chevrolet Trax. MSRP is $23,850, but at Roman's, you pay $19,900. Looking for a pre-owned Silverado? Roman's has more than 20 with thousands in savings. Special discounts this month for all military, active, and retired, as well as students. Brand new or pre-owned, shop the huge selection online or stop by 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, your Silverado City.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Good morning. Welcome back to Tech Talk. It is 7:37. By the way, you can always join in on the conversation if you're so inclined. 1-800-749-5936. Charles Moll and Charles Miller are your hosts right here on Tech Talk. Good morning, guys.
What's been happening in your world, Charles?
Just patching. That's all I do anymore. It's patching.
Oh, you
know,
really?
Basically, it's just doing updates and, you know, firmware and, you know, it's the routers, it's the access points, it's the servers, it's the workstations.
And how do you focus all that? I mean, stop and think about some people still in Windows 7 or whatever old operating system they have. How do you get them all up to current?
As a matter of fact, it has been kind of a struggle. I had somebody I saw last Saturday, I guess it was, and they had Windows 7 on their machine. I said, "Well, it had some kind of issue." So I went and looked at it. I said, "Well, this is Windows 7. You really should upgrade it to Windows 10 because, you know, Windows 10 has been the mainstream for well over a year."
Yeah.
And And then she had her assistance machine, and I looked at it. Well, it was also Windows 7. I said, well, you really should upgrade both of them, and because the machines were fine. Well, then she talked to her assistant, and the assistant said, well, no, we already have Windows 10. I said, no, you don't. And she convinced her that they both already had Windows 10 when they didn't. It wasn't an argument that I was going to chase. I said, okay, well, really can't do much for you there, you know.
Yeah, just...
But, you know, yeah. People just don't get it. And if they don't listen,
yeah,
what do you do?
And then when you run into problems, though, and you're trying to find a driver for something or whatever, your real reality crashes down on you that we're how many generations am I behind? You know, and that happens when you start seeing in software, like in Windows, all the advancements they've made, and then you go back and try to add a piece of equipment or something that you've used in the past, and you can't use it.
Well, you can't do updates on Windows 7 anymore unless you buy the extended support. So it's like you're already paying for another operating system when you might as well just go
just
to the new
update.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really didn't make any sense to me, but most people... You know, it's just like being afraid of change. I said, okay, this has worked for me. I said, okay, I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah.
This is your stuff.
Yeah.
All I can do is try to help, but, you know, so I don't know.
I just wouldn't want to have to deal with that. Computers, you know, I've been out of it for so long. When people ask software questions, some of it, I don't even have a clue what they're talking about. But, you know, I've been out of it so long. And then I call either you or Jimmy, you know, because Jimmy does a lot of work with me. And one of the things that was kind of funny, I was talking to him last week. He got a person's computer in, and it was clear back to XP. And he said, and I'm trying to get them up to date. And they had something like 190,000 photos. Mm-hmm. And he says, we're trying to integrate these over to the new operating system.
Ooh.
And he says, and some of those pictures were in some format that they wouldn't recognize. And so, you know, what do you do with that? What do you lose all those photographs, you know? Or he just said it just became a cluttered mess.
Well,
and then
you
spending
can usually,
hours trying to fix it.
Yeah, but pictures, you know, the formats are common enough where you can get a program like I use this program called RFAN View. It's I-R-F-A-N and then View.
Hmm.
And it'll read all kinds of formats, and it lets you write it to another format. So now you can do your own conversion just by reading the files, saving it off.
And that's what he ended up having to do. He said he had to convert the files.
Yeah.
And they had a conversion program. But you know the time that takes.
Yeah.
And if you're a computer guy, you know, and you're working on a time limit, that can get pretty extensive.
Yep. Well, that's why people usually get somebody hired out to do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I remember when I did that slideshow at Little Rock, you know, they had those slides. It was like, I don't know, 1,000 slides or something. I said, well, yeah, this is going to take a while. So we got the Camera Galleria in Tulsa to do it in one weekend.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wow.
But they had a machine where the whole thing stacked all the slides in there, and it would just kind of go through them just like a feeder.
Man.
And it took all those things, and it made very little work of it. I mean, they had to maybe lighten some things up, or, you know, they could adjust some of the color quality. But in general, it was fine.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, you got to have the right stuff. You know,
and they were doing slideshow presentations.
Well, I replaced the slideshow. They used to have this projector system where everything was timed.
Yeah, it was,
it was all mechanical.
Those,
totally mechanical. So I set up a PC with eight monitors, eight projectors actually, and had the same thing, basically just running through this software, and you basically start it. Because before they had to have people, there were like two or three people it took just to run the show, but now with the computer, you just turn it on and you can come back in 30 minutes and it's done.
Wow. You know,
so yeah, they liked that. It was a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure it's evolved since I've done that.
You know, back in the day when I was doing, we had a church ministry that did a presentation every year for the church to show where we were going and what the church was doing, and da 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 da. And we had these stacked projectors. We had four of them in a stack. And we had a time-based unit that would sequence between these.
Yeah.
And you could make them delay and go backwards and even go forwards and go back to a certain slide. And, I mean, this thing was really timed out and really technical, you know. But we spent hours and hours, and we had a reel-to-reel system that plugged into it, and all the bleeps that would tell these projectors what to do were on the soundtrack. And so as the soundtrack would play, it would tell the projector which projector was going to go where.
I see.
And it was really nice. I mean, they had the fade in, fade out features back. You can go back, like I said, and pick up another slide and bring it back. It was just incredible how these machines worked. And you could sit there and just watch this thing. Once you programmed everything, it was so automated. And I miss those days because that was really production. You know, you got to sit and actually produce this. And it would take months to put together a really nice presentation. But when it was all said and done and you sat back and it was all automated and you just crossed your fingers and hoped everything worked, you know, but it did. It just worked flawlessly. And it was just, it was really a neat process to watch. But yeah, that took me back a little bit when you mentioned that, because that's, that was old technology, but it was sure cool because everybody got the message that it was portraying.
It worked well. It worked well. But you know, it's evolved so much, like the video stuff. Like, did you ever watch the movie 1917? You know, it was a big, I saw
a lot of the trailers on it. Yeah. It was really cool.
It was a real neat. What they did the whole show with one camera.
Incredible.
One camera. And so what they do, they would go and follow these guys that were running down these tunnels and these, you know, across this terrain, you know, with the war terrain, and they had all that stuff just clipping along, and then they would shift over, and all of a sudden they would be coming this way, and then they would be going this way, but it was the same camera
for
the whole film.
And
it was very innovative how they did it, because I mean, it's just like you were there with them, you know what I mean? The whole sense of being right there next to them. Like,
that's what I saw in the trailer. I saw the fella running. It's like, my gosh, I'm winded because just watching this guy.
Yeah, you're winded just sitting to watch it. Yeah. That, I've seen those kinds of presentations. And, you know, technology-wise, IMAX has come into that really big. You know, if you go to an IMAX theater and see all the things that they've done with with video and so forth, you know, because they interject projections in there as well. But, I mean, IMAX is just huge.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a couple of those presentations years ago, and I remember sitting with my wife, and we were just dumbfounded, you know, the things that they could do with that projection anymore.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the new stuff they have anymore, the technology is running away with it. I mean, there's
and
so
much.
And
it's built into your computers now.
Yeah, everything is everything
I mean,
is
some of the software
now
that they have to be able to do editing and video and all those things. I've got programs on mine that if I'm producing something that I need to send out, it's got intros and outros that are customized, but you can put in whatever you want to say, and then they got a custom format. And I mean, some of this is really intense, and I use it for a lot of different programs. You've seen some of the commercials I've made for different various things that go on my presentation TV downstairs. And so a lot of that is generated with these programs that you have on your smartphone or computer. And I mean, some of these programs are pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, most people, they don't realize how much horsepower and how much capability they really have, like on their phone, on their computers, on, you know, all this stuff is really advanced a lot, and it keeps running. I mean, it keeps evolving constantly. So that's why I think what's really missing right now is, you know, you never get any instructions anymore. You get any documentation with anything? They send you some link. It says go look at it online. You'll find documentation, and then even then it's kind of skimpy. Seemed like the most popular way to learn stuff is YouTube. People can watch something for 5 minutes and probably, you know, instead of scratching their head after reading the documentation, it's just so much more effective.
Well, there's so much knowledge out there,
there
you
is.
Know, and teaching sometimes doesn't necessarily come from a classroom. I've been watching a presentation on log home building, because I'm going to build my own log home. and I've got all the ideas of what I want to do with it. But I was watching this guy making, I'm not going to do it the way he was doing it because I'm smarter than that. I'm going to buy the logs already pre-cut, and pre-numbered, and pre-done so that when I build my house, it'll go together like a Lincoln log house. But this guy was building this thing from scratch, and he was a 17-year-old kid, and when he finished it, he was 21. It took him that long. But the way this boy did it like our forefathers did, where he hollowed out the center of the log and everything and made them all fit together, and he used moss in between them as the insulator. And it was interesting to watch him do this, and I was thinking, man, you know, how does somebody hew this out and make it all fit? And if you watched his video, you learned how he did it, and you were going, wow, it's pretty ingenious. But, you know, somebody taught him, and then he got on YouTube and actually taught us. Uh-huh. And it was so interesting to watch the skill level of this kid as he built this log home that turned out to be a gorgeous home that he built himself, and he was just a young man. And all the credits at the end, you know, he was crediting his grandfather for teaching him how to do it. And then all the perseverance of building it. Could you imagine years of working on this yourself, and you did it all by yourself? And how he got those big logs up in the air to get them up on the beams, cross beams. I was amazed watching him put the purlins and everything up there on that roof. I was just shocked. It was amazing to watch. But he was so good at what he did. And dragging those logs down a mountainside, how he got it down. And on video, you can watch this on like YouTube. There's so much interesting things that you can learn there. And I learn a lot from there. I do. I mean, there's sometimes I'll find a optocoupler that I don't understand how this optocoupler is working. It's not written into the schematic the way I would see it. And I've gone back and found a video where a guy was working with one. He explained it. This is how this works. It's just typical electronics. I should have seen that. And then you go back and fix it, and it fixes the problem you're working on. So it was pretty interesting to see how YouTube and some of those things play into our learning.
Do you put together any kind of YouTube or any kind of visual stuff when you're doing your work to help people out with their computers, Charles?
I'm just now getting started on that because I've been building all my tools to give me a really good machine that will run that Adobe Creative Suite. You know, it's got like your Audition, it's got Premiere, it's got After Effects, it's got the whole suite. You know, because they went to the subscription model, so you just don't buy the software anymore. You pay for it by the month, and the whole suite is like, I don't know, 15, 20 programs. So you have a lot of choices as to what tools, and you can. They have this bridge program that lets you. Okay, I need to do this in Photoshop, clean this up, come back. You know, so now you actually have a framework that you can work in. So I'm going to start doing little tutorials by just that very thing.
And we've talked about it. We still want to do. We've got plans where we wanted to, you know, be able to educate people in our line of work. Sometimes people will ask a question that we can come back and make an answer to and put it on video to where people can go. And we've got the presentation software now, and we're working to get that all put together. And I've been learning how to operate it, so I do have some you know, some tutorials downstairs in my room that show, you know, basically what we do in NBR and then things that we're going to be doing in the future. But Charles and I wanted to work together on that to put out presentations and things. But we both have the knowledge of the software. It's the time.
That's
our biggest problem is both of us have very limited time.
when you run a little one-man band, you know, you're stretched every direction.
And getting you on and off airplanes, you know, for everywhere it takes you.
Well, he's been
crazy.
Back a few weeks, and it's been pretty nice having you back here. You
it know, has been.
Because a lot of times I have questions that I know where I can call and get my answers. So,
We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Talk here after this one-minute timeout.
It's that time of year again when Old Man Winter is rearing his ugly head. Be sure your furnace is ready for winter. Carbon monoxide is odorless and deadly. Call Ernest Heat and Air at 918-335-3057. Be safe, not sorry. That's Ernest Heat and Air in Bartlesville, 918-335-3057. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
This is Daryl Wooten, pastor of Spirit Church, inviting you to join us each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 for church services on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Spirit Church is a place of love, joy, and peace, and we pray you'll receive all three during each Sunday's broadcast. Tune in each Sunday on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 at 9:30.
We're getting techie with it here on Tech Talk. Good morning. It is 7:54. Charles and Charles with us here. Charles Miller, Charles Mall. And, of course, your calls at 1-800-749-5936.
All right. So, when you think of what's been going on as far as my regular activity goes, because I've been, this is my first week back working on all this patching business. That's why I've been so inundated with it.
Yeah.
And this has probably been the worst quarter as far as patching Microsoft products that I've ever had.
Oh,
you know,
my.
I don't know what. Well, to me, it's just like Microsoft creates this environment where it's like this Tetris game. You know how Tetris got those blocks?
Yeah, and you got to spin them around.
You got to spin them around. Well, every once in a while, when you miss updates or you compensate for some, now the machines are different. You know, it's not the same machine. You can't do the same thing to all of them. Mm-hmm. So it creates kind of a confusion to me because you can't treat all the machines the same. You know, because you know how it is with Tetris. When you have a little open area, you can't go back and fix
fill
that.
It in. Yeah, you can't fill
no.
it in.
No. With Unix and stuff, you can. Linux. Yeah. But with Microsoft stuff, that's why that stuff it's got to evolve somehow.
Yeah.
And that's why I think what's happening, they're going to start moving that out into just a plug-in module. Like Windows will just be a plug-in. Everything's going. They're getting a lot of the ideas from Linux and Unix, you know, on having these plug-ins. You know, so like for example, if you want Microsoft Office, we just put a plug-in. So you basically pay for that license and it fits into your environment. So they're all kind of isolated a little more in that way. So it makes it more manageable. But Microsoft is trying to figure out how to keep their market share because you've got a big portion of it. So now it's a chance for others to start playing, which I'm looking forward to because I think Microsoft needs some competition. The Macs just haven't been quite there to offer that kind of competition because, you know, there's this is a nice environment. You know, it's very cult-like, you know, when you join the Apple frame.
Yeah, when you're in the Apple frame.
Yeah, which is... You know, they've got good stuff. I mean, they focus so much on quality, it's just like you're going to pay twice as much.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are willing to do that, and some people aren't.
And you know, Charles, I've found that in Apple, it's harder to find computer guys that work with Apple software than there is with Windows.
Yeah.
Or Microsoft. It's hard to find them. And then when you do find those guys that can actually work on this stuff, it's super expensive. And you were right. You know, it's a totally different environment. It's an expensive environment. Or you have to go back to back to Apple, which nobody wants to do that. Yeah, they don't like to go sit in the tech bar and try to figure stuff out. They just don't want to do it. Yeah, it's a long. It could be a long day's process.
It just needs to work. But you know, there's so much more flexibility with that Mac environment because it's got this Linux core. You know, they had a Unix based used to be called Nexus or, but anyway, it was where Steve Jobs bought that company, and then they brought him back into Apple, and he merged the Unix core with the Apple environment. So now you have all these underpinnings. So command line is a full Unix environment. You know, so this is a good time to learn that. And the other thing on the Microsoft side is the CEO used to be the cloud. The VP in charge of cloud computing. Well, it was all Linux and Unix based. So now you're starting to see the underpinnings for their cloud offerings has all these little Unix elements because, you know, you can get down into the granular stuff that you couldn't get to with Windows. So they're almost evolving like what Apple did 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so they're starting to make that shift. And then the processors are changing. Now, they're finding out, well, Intel is kind of at the end of its, you know, cycle. Just like Apple, even though they're struggling with that M1 chip, it's going to be the mainstream because the ARM chip is on the phone, on tablets, on their computers. Yeah. Now you can start meshing those things together. And then I'm sure Microsoft will be do something similar if they're going to keep their market share. Because
I noticed there was a couple programs that you can get on the iPhone that linked with the Apple devices, your Apple computers, and it shared the processor. So it sped up the process of doing video editing, let's say, on your iPhone using the power of the laptop itself. And so some of those guys were integrating, and this one guy was showing me how he's doing these commercial-based programs and stuff that goes up on a website. And it was interesting to watch him do that. And I was sitting and watching him use that processor. And you can see the difference between the two as he would share. And these machines are becoming so integrated that they just work with one another. So it's pretty interesting.
Gentlemen, we're about ready to wrap things up. Where can we find you, Charles Ball?
ITVillage.one.
Worldwide!
You can find me right here at KWON, downstairs in Suite 100, NBR Electronics, 1200 Southeast Frank Phillips.
With a bird's eye view of the boulevard.
And I have to listen to Tom all day long. Boy, that voice gets irritating.
Great on your nerves, huh?
I'm just teasing, Tom.
I know. Yeah. Keep that piano to an hour.
Yeah.
All right, take care. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.